Okay. I think it'll do it. We're holding today in Perek Dalet of the Tiferes Yisrael. And what he's going to talk about today is the general division of mitzvahs, which is the division into mitzvahs asei and mitzvahs lois asei. When we speak about Torah here in the Tiferes Yisrael, of course, we speak not just about Limud HaTorah, and the, you know, which is a big part, but also we speak about every aspect of Torah, the Kiyum Mitzvaseh, the fulfillment of its mitzvahs. And what he's going to talk about here today is going to be a perspective on the two sides, so to speak, of Torah, of Aseh and Lois Aseh, of positive commandments and negative commandments. But let's begin by his introduction. I would like to read to you inside his introductory paragraph to this perek, where he speaks on mitzvahs in general, and the terminology and the ideas are very much a continuation of the general sense, the general theme which he has been developing in the first few prakim. Hadrochim v'apulais asher mivim el ha'atzlocha he mitzvahs ha'tayra. The paths and the actions that bring a person to hatzlocha, to success, to growth, they are the mitzvahs of the Torah. Shebezulasam hayanishar b'kayach, k'mayish yisbarad. Without them, without the practice of the mitzvahs, the person would have tremendous potential, but now actual. V'heim heim k'may hachevel, shemalines ha'odam yibar ha'tachtiyos. The mitzvahs ha'Torah are like the rope that a person would grab onto to ascend from a very deep pit. Hu olam ha'shafel, that's the world down here. El olam ha'elyon, to ascend to a higher world. To have him sit with the king Hashem eye to eye, face to face, so to speak. Because the mitzvahs play what role? They play the role of purifying the person, bringing the person beyond the physicality, so the person as a result is not just considered a material physical being that comes into existence and then disappears from existence, like physical things do. Mitzvahs are motivated by the seichel, by the intellect, not by the material, not by physicality. Persons driven to do mitzvahs by a higher faculty, a higher aspect of himself. Kasher adam oisa ha-mitzvah sha-seichel mechayev harei bezeh yaitza nafshay min ha-teva ha-chomris. When a person does that which the intellect says to do, he's defining himself as a being that is of the intellect, of the neshama, of the higher faculties, rather than a being of the lower ones. And that way, and that takes his soul out of that physical framework, attaches him to the sichli. So this is the fundamental idea which we've talked about throughout since the beginning of the Tiferes Yisrael, which is that a human being has this aspect of him which is the Tzelem Elohim, which is the divine component, but it's resting within the physical human being, and the Torah is the means, the Torah and its mitzvahs is the means to cultivate and to develop that aspect, the higher aspect, the aspect which differentiates him from the behemah, from the animal. So here the Maharal draws this metaphor that the person's down here in the Olam HaChomri, in the physical world, and he has this rope that he has to climb to have him ascend beyond it, to maximize the potential that he has to be above it. And that rope is, you know, the strands of the mitzvahs together. And then, and as he says, we have to see it in general, that the human being struggling between the two of them to remain a physical being, to remain subject to the rules and limitations of physicality, that's as long as the decisions which we make and the actions which we do are driven by that physicality. But the more the decisions we make, the more the actions which we do are driven by the higher form, the more that takes us to become that higher form itself. That's his general introduction. The Ramchal in the Derech Hashem, when he writes, as he's developing his approach to what man is and what man is supposed to be able to accomplish in this world, And, you know, very much this terminology that the human being is created to be able to experience and to have within himself some of the shleimus, some of the perfection and completeness which is found in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he goes on to develop this, and he says, now, in the way we act in this world and interact with this world, that's how we define whether we're going to be developing for ourselves shleimus, the Hashem's perfection, or whether we are going to be enhancing chumrius, enhancing physicality. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu established for ourselves, for us, sidorim ugvulais, orders and borders, in order to be able to figure out what are the things we should steer away from that would undermine our shleimus, and what are the things we should attach ourselves to and involve ourselves with in order to enhance it. And so he says, Achastorim, this is in Perek Dalet, paragraph A, Achastorim, Agvulis Eilu, Hineim Klal, HaMitzvus HaEsen VaAlavin. Asher Kol Achas Miyam, Mechuvonais El Tachlis, Hikonais BaAdam, VeHatzim Boi Achas Mimadregis HaMala, Amitis Shezacharnu, VaSoras Echad Meinyoni, Achayshev HaChisraynois. He says, each one of these mitzvahs is there to enhance an aspect of shleimus, of self-development, of perfection, and to remove ourselves from one of the negative things, one of the chisreinos, through the mitzvah saseh, doing, or through withholding, withstanding, refraining rather, I should say, from the mitzvah leisaseh. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find the shleimus, find the divine perfection, which is the goal of man in this world. And the tools to that are through the mitzvahs. The Ramchal frames it, begins to frame it, in a simple way, the way we all would understand, that the mitzvahs, I say, are to enhance positive connections, and the mitzvahs, I say, are to avoid negative ones. What Maral is going to do here, in trying to take us beyond and have a little bit more of an appreciation, a little bit more of a depth of an appreciation of that very basic concept, the Maral is going to focus on a famous statement in the Gemara. It's a Gemara in the end of Maseches Machlis, where the Gemara teaches us something that becomes a significant theme that preoccupied many Rishonim along the way, and that is the number of mitzvahs that exist within the Torah's Hashem. The Gemara says on the bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Makkos, at the end of Maseches Makkos, Dorash Rabbi Simloi, Sheish Meis Ushleish Esrei Mitzvos Nemlo Lo Meisha. Moshe Rabbeinu was given 613 mitzvos. Shleish Meis Veshishim Chamesh Lavin, 365 are Loisaseis, are prohibitions, Kemini Nemeis Achama, corresponding to the days in a solar year. Umasayim v'arboim u'shmoina asei, and 248 mitzvahs asei, keneged evorav shel adam, corresponding to the limbs in a person's body. Omar Rav Hamnuna Maikra, where do we see in a pasuk that there are 613 mitzvahs? Torah tziva lanu Moshe mayrasha. So we say Torah, what's the gematria of Torah is 611. Shismei v'chatzari aveh. So anoichi v'layilucha mipi agbura shamanim. The remaining two were the first two commandments, which we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm just telling you the simple reading of the Gemara, the simple idea. So 613 mitzvahs were said to Moshe. Moshe shared with us 611. Two, he didn't have to share with us. Two, we got the same way he got. Two, we heard from Hashem directly. That's the Gemara. So again, the minyan, the count of the Taryag mitzvahs, the 248 asays, the 365 leis asays, many, right, everybody struggled to figure out, what are they, right? What are they? They know what the halacha is, they know what the mishnayah says, they know what the gemara says, but how do you divide them? You know, how do you divide them? Is building the Beis HaMikdash, building the Mishkan, one mitzvah, or is each component part in the Mishkan a separate mitzvah? You know, how do you do this? When you tzitzis, is there a mitzvah of blue threads and a mitzvah of white threads, or is it one mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah of a shel yad and a shel rosh, or is it one mitzvah called tefillin? Are there 39 mitzvahs in Shabbos, mitzvahs leisaseh, or are there one? You know, I mean, again, some of these things are machlekes, others aren't machlekes. Some of them famous. You know, is moving to Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah? Right? The Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah. The Ramban counts it as a mitzvah. Does that mean that the Rambam doesn't hold that you're supposed to do it? Right? Or, for some reason, It doesn't make the cut. If you open up the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the first section of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the greatest lengthy articles in the Sefer HaMitzvahs are before he counts the mitzvahs. They're about the principles which the Rambam uses to define what should be counted as its own mitzvah. It's almost a question of, almost, not quite, but one might call it like almost a question of semantics. What do you call a mitzvah? What do you call a mitzvah distinct from another? Right? It's much deeper. If it wouldn't be simply a question of semantics, the halachas gedolos and the Rambam and the Ramban and the Yireim and everything, they wouldn't have made themselves very, very busy trying to figure out exactly what, you know, what's what. But this Gemara involved them. Now, the Maral, understandably, is preoccupied with an aspect of it, which is the correspondence. Okay, he's not going to talk in this perek about why 613, right, or why 248, or why 365, you know, the numerology issues. But the open metaphor which the Gemara draws, not metaphor, but the open association which the Gemara makes, that the Lois Aseis correspond to the days in a solar year. Why? The Aseis correspond to the parts, the limbs in the body of a person. Why? What's the meaning behind that comparison? Now, you might be familiar, especially those of you who say sometimes those Kabbalistic tefillahs, which we say sometimes before mitzvahs, that there's a medrash separate from this Gemara, where it says the 248 mitzvahs asei corresponding to the limbs of the person, and the 365 corresponding to the shesa gidin, to the 365 sinews, also within the body of the person. Maral brings it at the end of this perek, and he touches upon the difference, but the main focus in the perek is going to be on the first metaphor, on the metaphor of the days of the solar year, and the limbs of the body. And says Maral, okay, I know what you're thinking. What you're thinking is that, 365 lois is corresponding to the 365 days of the year because every day of the year you have to make sure that you observe the lois aseis. And 248 mitzvahs aseis with the 248 limbs because with every part of your being you have to perform the mitzvahs. So he says, tell me something. And if you had 365 mitzvahs aseis, because every day of the year you're supposed to do the mitzvahs, right? And 248 mitzvahs lois aseis because with every part of your body you should make sure to avoid and to stay clear of averus, that wouldn't have made sense. That's not enough. There's some more direct association between the mitzvahs haseh and the limbs, and the mitzvahs leis haseh and the days. What is that? Says the Maral, he begins to discuss this, and using to some degree terms of the, to some degree what I read to you in the beginning from the Ramchal, that we have to see that there are two general directions which a person has to have in terms of the behaviors which they're going to do to achieve their shleimus. The first thing is do no harm. First, do no harm. A person has to make sure to avoid doing something which would, in the language of Ramchal, would bring an element or enhance an element of chisaron, of negativity within himself. In the language of Maral, which is very important to the way he's going to draw the picture, is to alter or distort the seder, the order of the way things need to be. You don't want to do something that will disrupt the order of the way things need to be. That's one front. And on the second front, you need to have that upward mobility that we've been talking about since the beginning, that we talked about a little bit earlier with the rope climbing, bringing the person up. You have to not only not distort the order, but you have to somehow take yourselves out, take yourselves and go beyond where a human being would be created at Pekayach, to attach themselves and to make themselves that much higher, that much more Eloki, that much more connected to an Olam Haba. Those are the two things. Again, do no harm and make yourself great. Don't distort the Seder, the order of things, or the way things need to be, and take things to the next level, beyond the where they are now. That's the general outline, and that's the way he's going to see mitzvahs lois aseh versus mitzvahs aseh, between those two things. Now, again, as a beginning, that's Pashut. There's a famous Ramban in Parshas Yisrei, where the Ramban says that mitzvahs lois asei are an expression of yiras Hashem. Mitzvahs asei are an expression of avas Hashem. So, you know, Rabbi Akiva Eiger made the Ramban famous because in Meseches Yevamos, in the sugya of asei, doicha lois asei, that when you have a mitzvah asei like tzitzis that conflicts with a mitzvah lois asei like shatnas, right? Because let's say you have a linen garment and you want to put on it the tcheles, which has to be blue wool, so asei doicha lois asei. The asei overcomes the lois asei. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Gilyan Hashas, in the notes we have published in the Gemara, which were from the margins of Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Gemaras, so he says, look at the Ramban in Parshas Yisrei, in Shmais, Perek Chof, Parshas Yisrei by Zohar v'Shamar. Right? So he made it famous. So the idea is that over there the Ramban explains that mitzvahs hasei are ava, and mitzvahs leis hasei are yira. Mitzvahs leis hasei are yira, meaning you contain yourself, you refrain from doing something which would offend. Refraining from doing something which would offend, something which would go against, is, you know, so to speak, you're still remaining where you are. You're just, again, you're not doing any harm. You're keeping your nose clean, proverbially, right? You're avoiding negativity. Mitzvahs asei are ava. Mitzvahs asei are love. They are positive engagement, positive expression. On Shabbos, don't do work. Okay, great. So I have a great idea. Go to sleep. Do, right? Like the kids call it the bagel, or now you have the bagel with cream cheese, or the bagel with cream cheese with lox. You know, the bagel is 12 hours, full circle sleep, right? With cream cheese is beyond, with cream cheese with lox, you know, they then nap another 6 hours l'chumer in the afternoon, right? You know, you did no harm. You kept Shabbos. You didn't do melacha. You didn't do anything for that matter. And then there's a mitzvah of Zohar Asiyam HaShabbos L'Katsha. Zohar Asiyam HaShabbos is not what you withhold from, it's engage. Is remember the Shabbos. Remember Hashem created the world. Make Kiddush. Have a Suda. Do Gam Hayavim Dvarea Gedula Bacharu. Do things on Shabbos that are positive engagement. That's Ava. That's Ava. That's ascending beyond. That's not just not doing harm. That's ascending beyond. That's the way the Ramban is. The Ramban divides it up. Right? Rav Huttner says, has a beautiful, he talks about this Ramban, he says, it's not, you know, a person could do mitzvah slice to say out of Ava, but mitzvah slice to say is for the person to limit themselves. Right? It's a movement of his kaftus, of narrowing oneself, not to do, and mitzvah saseh are mitzvahs of expanding of oneself, of going and attaching and creating bigger, bigger possibility. Very much reflective of this thing. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Sha'arei Tshuva, in the third chelek of the Sha'arei Tshuva, he says that the biggest principles in the Torah, right? I brought it out here. Hamalos ha'elyonos nimsru b'mitzvos aseh. The greatest malos, this is chelek gimel, Sha'ar gimel, paragraph yud zayin. The malos ha'elyonos, the uppermost achievements, possibilities, they're given over in the mitzvah aseh. And fascinatingly, as Ramban elsewhere notes in Kedoshim and so on, they're usually very undefined. They're very undefined. The Laisa says the prohibitions are very defined. Right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this animal, don't do that. Right? A mitzvah aseh, which says be holy, or remember the Shabbos, you know, it's so much more undefined exactly precisely how that is to be done. It's so much more subjective and individual, how far you can take it, how high you can climb, how much you can grow this into. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shekol Yehi Dvarei. Okay, so again, that's a general principle. But what's with the metaphor? Let's get to the crux of it. What's with the metaphor? The 365 mitzvahs leisa say kaminyan and mais hachama, and likewise. The 248 corresponding to the limbs of the person. Says the Maharal like this. Starts off, and he says, you know, there are two maishlim, there are two rulers, two controllers that exist within the world. On the fourth day, Hashem created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he said, he created the Ma'or HaGadol, the big luminary, the sun, l'memshelas hayayim, to rule over the day. And the Mor HaKatan and the smaller luminary, the moon, lememshelas halayla, to rule over the night. Those are considered to be rulers, controllers, masters of the world. There's a reason why Avdei Avodah Zarah typically were worshippers of the sun and the moon and the stars. Hashem warns us about that constantly in the Torah. Now, you know, with the advancement of science, people don't do that anymore, right? But in so many ways, our lives are still defined in a more scientific way by the sun and the moon and the stars, and worrying about them, and you know, our seasons, right? Everything, right? The clothes you're wearing today is because of the sun, right? Because of where it is, you know, seasonally, and so on and so forth. We define our lives around that, except for you guys wearing white shirts and black pants. The reality, so in so many ways, is defined by that. And we know that Shlomo HaMelech said that repeatedly in Kehelas, when he referred to life on this earth as Tachas HaShemesh, under the sun. Not just physically under the sun, but B'mem Shelas Hayayim. The Pasuk uses the expression, it is the Moshel, it is the ruler, it controls. The Shemesh controls. Who else, what else is given control in Bereishis? When Hashem creates Adam, when Hashem creates man, he says, Uridu, and you will rule. Ridiyah is a term for Memshala. It's a term for ruling. Why the Torah used the term Ridiyah? We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes, Bezer Hashem. But it's control. Hashem created man, and man was going to be in the image of God. God is the master of the universe. He created man to be a master of the universe, to control, as he says, the animals and the birds and the fish and the earth itself, right? Man is given control, and the sun has control. Both of these things, in a great sense, are Meishlim. And those are the two realms which we have here, the Mitzvahs Leisaseh and the Mitzvahs Aseh. The Mitzvahs Leisaseh correspond to the cycle of the sun, that control of the world. And the Mitzvahs Aseh correspond to man, to the limbs of the body of man, that controller of the world. Step one. Step one of how he draws this picture. Now, when we speak about the sun, what are we speaking about? We're speaking about the order of Teva. The 365 days of the year is a picture of Olam Kiminhagai Nayeg. The world, that it has its path, it has its way, that it will follow. And it just continues to follow, inexorably, just going on and on and on. Hazinu Hashamayim v'adabeira v'sishma aratzim refi. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people with his song of warning about doing the right thing and avoiding the wrong thing, he said, listen to Shamayim. Right? So Chazal say, Rashi brings, well, what's Hazinu Hashamayim? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, you see the sun? It doesn't get rewarded, it doesn't get punished. Right, but what does it do? It just does its job. And we said Kiddush Levana last night. Right? What do you say? Pael Emes, Shepulas Emes, you know, the sun and the moon, they just do their thing. They just go with a tremendous, tremendous ordering. That's the way they do it. Olam Kiminhagai Nayeg. So Hashem says to us, look, you see, the sun does its thing. It just follows, it goes accordingly. You guys try to mimic it. Try also to do, in that sense, just what you're supposed to. Follow, do things within the order. That's Seder. The sun represents Seder. The sun represents the Seder, the order of the Teva, of the world, of the way things ought to be. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the spiritual components, and he says, you know, do no harm, don't disrupt, don't alter the starim, the order of the way you're supposed to be, the metaphor for that is indeed going to be the sun. On another level, the order of Teva is the order of the material of the physical world. And the Mitzvahs Leisaseh, as we learned, as the Ramchal phrases it, and as the Maharal here as well draws up, is for the person not to go after that which is negative. What is that which is negative? To be drawn after the physicality. Okay, so it has its correspondence in that which represents the physical world. Some of you may recall a beautiful piece of the Maharal that we learned in the Be'er HaGoyla. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the Be'er HaShishi. The Be'er HaGoyle speaks about a fantastic Gemara in Yuma. Gemara in Yuma, which is a real head-scratcher. The Gemara says like this. It speaks about the... It seems to be speaking about the dust particles, you know. If you look here, as you have like a little sunbeam coming into the room, you see all these dust particles floating through the air. That's what it seems to be talking about. And the Gemara says, where do all those dust particles come from? So it's more because the sun is sort of like sawing through the sky, so it's the sawdust as it's cutting through the sky. Okay. Says the Gemara goes on to say that, you know, the sound of the sun cutting through the sky would be deafening, except it gets drowned out by Kol Hamayna Shel Raimi, by the sounds of the masses, the crowds of Rome. Right, you know, there, right? You sometimes, you know, Sunday afternoon in the fall, right? You're downtown someplace and you hear, you know, from the ravens, you know, they know, like, you know, Kol Hamayna Shel Raimi, that's, you know, the sounds of the masses of Rome. So they drown out. It's good they do that because otherwise the sun would be deafening. And, you know, the sounds of Rome would be deafening, says the Gemara, if they weren't offset by the sounds of the sun cutting through the sky. Like, what on earth is that supposed to mean? What kind of primitive science is that? And let alone did the Gemara actually think that there was a constant thunderous roar coming from Rome. I mean, they had famous stadiums in Rome, but you know, it wasn't 7/24. You know, wasn't 24/7. Whatever. Wasn't
before
constant
ESPN, right?
Before ESPN. Yeah. So the Maharal explains as follows. Okay, and here we'll use this to go further here in this shtickle of Maharal. Maharal explains with a very important yesod, which is brought out best, I think, in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. A Mishnah which says that there are three areas. The Gemara says, "Kol mekabel olav oil Torah." A person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah is relieved of the oil of kingdom and the oil of derech eretz, the oil of nature. And Maral basically explains that there are three areas of control which exist in the world. There are three things which inform our decisions, why we do things. One of them is what we call the yoke of derech eretz. Right? You went to sleep last night, not because somebody told you to. Right? You went to sleep last night because you're tired and you need to sleep. If you didn't go to sleep last night, you'd have a hard time functioning today. Right? When you send your child to sleep, right? So you have... Right, the child doesn't want to go to sleep. Right, they don't think they need to sleep. Right, so you use a different power. You say, "Go to sleep," because I'm telling you to go to sleep. That's what we call Ol Malchus. That's something which is defined by people. Now, that case, it's sort of like a sillier example because really it's Ol Derech Eretz, right? But what happens when you stop at a red light? You stop at a red light because nature tells you to stop. Like when these glasses stop, that's because of all their inheritance. That's because of nature. But when you stop at a red light, it's because the government told you to stop at the red light. When you stop at a red light, it's because you stop at a corner, it's because somebody else is coming. It's not because of nature, right? On a desert island, you wouldn't stop at a corner, right? If you were the only one there. It's only because there are other people who are there, right, that you have to worry about the other people. That's shorthand Ol Malchus. So we do things because nature tells us to do them. We eat, we sleep, we have to provide for ourselves, we take care of our health. These are all because of the call of nature. We do things because of other people, because people instruct us, because of society, because of societal expectations, right? Right? We make, when our child is bar mitzvah, we teach them, you know, mitzvahs. We get them a pair of tefillin. Why? Oh, that's because of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's the third realm. But when we, you know, when we have a nice invitation, maybe we're doing that because of Ol Malchus, you know, because of societal expectations. This is what people expect of us to do. So the Mishnah says there's Ol Derech Eretz, things which we do because of nature. There's things which we do because of Malchus, because of other people. And then there's Ol Torah, there's things which we do because of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. If a person, says the Mishnah, will define themselves completely by doing what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants, then those other things are going to fade away. Nature will fade away, right? When we were makabel the Torah, Hashem said, don't worry, Don't worry, people won't die. People won't get sick, right? Sinai Hospital. We don't have to worry about anything, any of the issues of nature. And Lishalta Bahem Umavilashain. There wouldn't have been Shibun Malchus. We wouldn't have to worry about other people telling us what to do. We would be just the Rabbi Nishalam. But to the extent that we don't completely give ourselves over to the Rabbi Nishalam, we end up worrying about those two other controlling factors. Says the Maral, beautiful Taich in that Gemara in Yuma. It says like this. Imagine a world where you didn't have to worry about people. All you had to do was worry about nature. That would be the controller. We would be completely, completely, completely thinking about nature. It would be overwhelming. The power of that call of nature would be incredible. Imagine a world, this one's easier to see the difficulty, where it was just El Malchus. Right? Kol HaMayna Shel Raimi represents Malchus. Rome is the ultimate Malchus, the Malchus which we're in now, the Malchus which gathers together all of the nations of the world. Right? Imagine if they didn't have to worry about nature. Imagine if their power was just there. Right? They were more powerful than any other person, and they had nothing else to worry about. But given that they also have to worry about, you know, about ecological factors, they have to worry about food, they have to worry about climate, they have to worry about all kinds of things. Right? So that helps offset. This is the original division. What's it called again? The division of powers or something like that?
Separation
of powers. This is original separation of powers. You don't want Rome to be overwhelming, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a power to nature. You don't want nature to completely be there and to be overwhelming, and people wouldn't even think about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, right? This is the idea of what it would ultimately crowd out. You'd just be defined by nature, but there's also this other thing about worrying about people. So because there's nothing in the world that has absolute power, so they offset each other, and there's room for us to think about the ultimate power, the true absolute power that has chosen to share of his power with these other two. That's the sounds of Rome versus the sounds of the sun. The sun is Teva. The sun, so to speak, grinding its way through the sky. Figure of speech, right? The sun grinding its way through the sky is the deafening, deafening power of nature and what it asks of us. That's the Shemesh. And then you have the power of people. Now look at that here now, what we have here in this with the mitzvahs. Right? We have mitzvahs loisase corresponding to the sun. We have mitzvahs ase corresponding to the limbs of the person, the power of people. The order of nature is to a great degree a limitation. Be careful, don't disturb. Make sure things work. Do no harm. Keep yourself going. Keep yourself alive. Keep yourself healthy. The power of man is ambition, is possibility, is where things can go beyond. The Evorim Shalodim, the limbs of the person, that's what provides the person with the potential to be able to maximize, to be everything, to be the huge, overpowering man, and to be able to bring it up ultimately, B'Tzelem Elokim. Maral points out another element here, which is very important, and which was really the theme to a great degree of what we talked about in the last perek, which is that the man, nature is fixed, and man changes. Remember what we learned last time? Behema is ba-ma. What you see is what you got. Whereas Adam is called Adam because of Adama, which is the fertile ground that grows things, that represents potential for growth, for development. A human being is able to develop. The world of Chaimer, the world of the material, is pretty much stuck where it is. It can't go up, and it can't even really go down. It does, like the sun obviously does. The sun is the image of it, because the sun always, right? You know, you look at a cow, you would say, come on, stubborn. You know, it didn't want to do this, it didn't want to do that. But fundamentally, it's always doing what it's supposed to do. The one that's representative of always doing what it's supposed to do is the sun, because the sun is eminently consistent. It always does exactly what you're going to expect it to do. It always rises in the east. Right? That's what that's the language which Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael. The human being is not predictable. I don't know if you know that. Right? But a human being is not predictable. A human being is not supposed to be predictable. Part of that is, of course, there's no risk, there's no gain. Human being can drop below. Part of it is that he has the potential to transcend and to grow beyond that which he was created to do. That's the language I mentioned to you before. When it speaks about man and his rulership, it doesn't use the term v'yimshol. It uses the term uredu. Says Rashi, why does he use the term uredu? Because redu has a double entendre. Redu can mean to rule, and the root of that is because people fall, kairim, they fall and they bow before the ruler. And on the other hand, it could be redu is to descend. And Hashem tells man, you know, your position as the controller, as mastering all the rest in creation, it's a flexible position. It could be, and it could be not. If you're Zeicha, you will be above them. If not, you will be below them. That's the world of the potential, the world which can be in flux, where we can go up and where we can go down. And that's the world of the Ruchnius. That's the world of the Adam. And in the mitzvahs aseh, which are there to cause us to find the way to ascend highest, that is represented by gufay, by the physical body that's going to be there in the person. The Maral ends the perek by saying as follows. You'll look into this deeper and you'll know and you'll understand. The sun and man are two kings. The sun rules over the earth. Man also rules, as it says, one of them is a material Moshe, a material ruler, because the sun is physical. Sorry, it's not the passage I meant to read, but it's a good one. The second ruler is beyond the physical world, because the Adam isn't Gashmi Gomer. He has this higher thing. So the person is that other kind, potentially, that other kind of ruler. One Gashmi, and one not so Gashmi. And so he says... yes. Omna Masher hu oid yaiser elyain. Right? Man is a king, the son is a king, but Asher hu oid yaiser elyain, what's beyond even man as the king, is Asher ba melochim yimloichu, that gives kings their power, is the Torah. She oid yaiser elyain ba'elam. The Torah is highest in the world. Ulafika chatorah misyacheses el elu shnei melochim. That's why the Torah is structured after the other two kings. The old Torah is structured after the Ol Derech Eretz, the sun, and the Ol Malchus, the man, the human being, the physical human being. Asher echad inyonai bilti yitziyah min haseder b'madregas loisaseh. One of them is to maintain the order of the world as the sun carries out the order of the world through the loisaseh. Asheni, and the second one is inyon hashleimus, shu mashlim hametzius, is to complete the world with the mitzvahs asay. Dover zeh roi l'tayra, shiyu ba mitzvahs leis asay, asher shoymim es asay rishli yivar achayk. It's appropriate for the Torah to have mitzvahs leis asay, to maintain things within their proper parameters, as is roi, as is suitable for the king, and also the mitzvahs asay that are mashlimim es ha'am, that complete the person, like the king, that's hashlamas ha'am. That's the chaymer, that's the tzura, that's the matter, right? There's also elements which Maral puts in here into this parak. The sun represents the ultimate in chaymer, in the physical world, right? The sun, the light, the heat is the ultimate in the physical world. And the human being represents, of course, the tzura, that which gives form, which gives direction, which gives shape to the physical world. And both of these have to be included within the purview of Torah, to make sure that we learn to avoid those aspects of the physicality which would detract, and to enhance the aspects of tzura, to make them not simply the tzura that can be imposed by human intelligence, that as we've been learning here can impose a great high level, right, which is very human and very uniquely human, a tzura of its own, a form and a shape and a direction of its own, but one which isn't of another world. And the Torah takes that piece of Adam and it takes it up to another world. The Torah gives it the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rope to be able to connect it, to be able to bring it all the way up. So I think this is a very strikingly elegant picture now of the Ramach and the Shasa. Yes, Torah is there to create the ultimate dominion over the world, to bring up the world completely to the next level. And it does it working within the framework of the two existing control and authority structures that exist within the world, nature and human beings. And each one is there to be able to be done, to subordinate nature, the mitzvahs loisaseh, to give it, you know, to put it in its place, and to elevate what the human being is supposed to be able to bring into the world. That's the mitzvah saseh, the malas al yainis, in the term used by Rabbeinu Yaina. That's the essence of the perek. I just want to end the perek with the footnote which the Maral uses to end the perek, which is what I mentioned to you at the beginning, that there's another chazal, similar but different to the Gemara in Makkos, where it also says the 248 mitzvah saseh corresponding to the limbs, and the 365 loisa says corresponding to the gidin, to the sinews, to the muscles, whatever, however you translate the term gidin. And he says, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The limbs are the positive essence. The sinews, the muscles, are to hold the whole thing together. Right? That's to be shomer al haseder. The reason why the sinews are like the days of the sun, right? So it doesn't have this elegant picture which we have of nature versus man. But he says, you know, this is just taking the whole picture within man, seeing man as a micro world, as an ilam katan. You don't have to look at the entire universe, just look within man. And within man there are aspects of himself, of keeping himself in place, and there are aspects of himself from which the initiative and the various faculties and directions come. And those are, again, these two elements of Torah and Mitzvah. Those are those two elements of Torah and Mitzvah. But it's fundamentally, so it's the same idea, just, you know, the premise of where we go with it. That's the idea of how these things are brought together in trying to be mashlim Adam and be mashlim the Bria. Questions, comments?
So idea about children and loosening, example, a child of Chalila by the early age seems to be not able to achieve that shyness. He deals with that very nicely, pointing out.
Perek Gimel, I think, huh?
Was that last
I think it's in Perek Gimel, yeah. Yeah, and he will deal with it. He'll deal with it there in passing. Yeah. What did he say?
He said that, the fact is that they lose out in any response. In the fact that they're potter, that they're exempt, they haven't achieved, but that beyond their control, the circumstances beyond their control, such as a premature death, just since that it had no fault of their own, that somehow or another in the next 4 years that their scar is not kept away from this.
An ikuv, he says, an impediment, which is mitzad haguf, which is because the body gave out, is not considered something that's a limitation on the neshama. We only are held to task for things which our neshama did not give us the strength to go forward to do when we have the ability to do it. But when the soul wanted, but the body wasn't cooperative because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the person from the world, then it's not considered a failure of potential. He's going to talk about it more in a later section here. He said it there as in passing as an important, it is a very, very important thing. Very important and beautiful idea.
You said the Maral has three rulers. You have the nature, you have the man, and then you said the Rabbi Shlom's on top. And you can choose to be just under Rabbi Shlom. If you look at it, the only one who really fits that, not even completely, is Moshe Rabbeinu when he's in Shemayim. Even he died, so the laws of nature apply. And in our time, we have like Reb Steinman, so he eats like a piece of toast and a tea that none of us
gets,
a potato, whatever, and sleeps who knows what, and the rest of us couldn't do that. So yeah, that's clearly somebody who, on the continuum, is more in that direction, but it's not like you're putter from the other, you can't be.
So you're right. The other example is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, had exactly this, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of him, and the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's argument, right, that was his life experience, and his argument, which reflected his life experience, was forget about Ol Derech Eretz. Right, that was his argument to Rabbi Shmuel. Forget about Ol Derech Eretz. Just do what you're supposed to do. And to some degree, of course, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai also forgot about Ol Malchus, which is why he was politically incorrect. Right? Yeah, the Romans, bah. Right? Now, Ol Malchus came back to haunt him. Right, and Ol Derech Eretz came back to haunt him to some degree because his wife had to provide him with food because he wasn't ready to go without food, right? And then he was worried that people would then question his wife, so he went somewhere. He said, "Forget about it. I can't rely on my wife." But Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him food. It wasn't quite Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Who was there where he didn't even need it. Now, yes, you're right. So that's what the Gemara says, and that's why the Gemara says, "Harbe asu krav shimar yochev le'osa biyadam." Many did like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and weren't successful. It's for the few, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Chafetz Chaim is Medayek in the Gemara. It's for the masses, it's not. It is for some isolated few. Because we're human beings. We're keenly aware, and we have a hard time shaking Ol Derech Eretz. We're keenly aware of Ol Malchus. We're keenly aware of the expectations and the responsibilities we have to others. And that's the Pasuk in the end of Parshas Noach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, except Ner Parshas Bereishis, where it says, "L'yadein ruchi ba'adam la'aylam," my spirit is not going to struggle within man, the physical man, forever. B'shagam hu basar, because he is also flesh. And his days will be me'av esrim shana. So simple pshat in the pasuk is 120 years, and I'm going to get really angry at man already. But Chazal understood it. Right, Ibn Ezra brings it there. Me'av Esrim Shana, right? It's 120 years. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, and the Gemara in Chulin, of course, says, "Where's Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to in the Torah?" Besides, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, which it says 500, but it means in Bereishis in the beginning, is Bishagam Hubasar, because he's also flesh. That thing, Moshe, Bishagam is Gematria Moshe, and he'll live 120 years, meaning that as high as a human being is going to be able to grow, he's still going to be immortal. A mortal. He's still going to be subject to death. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be that way. Now, that said, there is a stream of Chazal that doesn't see it that way. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi brings in the Kuzari. We don't find a classic Midrashim. Classic Midrashim say differently. But if it's you can find it in the more mystical Mekairis. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the end of the Torah, Moshe died, right? There's your 120 years. He died. He's also, even with all his spirituality, right? All Torah could not be absolute, complete. There was always going to be all Derech Eretz. But then what does it say? It says nobody could find out where he's buried. What does that mean? Right? So maybe we should use advanced sonography, right? And look around and find it, right? We'll find where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi brings in the Kuzri that the reason why nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried is because he didn't die. It's because he went bis'ora hashamayma, like Eliyahu HaNavi. because he climbed up to the heavens, like Eliyahu HaNavi, in the whirlwind, that he couldn't remain on this earth more than 120 years. But on the other hand, he took the earth with him. It wasn't Ol Derech Eretz. Mentioned last week in the Parsha Shir, you know, to understand that this is the important understanding of what happens with Kairach. Kairach, the Pasuk emphasizes how he was swallowed up by the earth alive. Right? Went down into the ground alive. What's the significance of that? So there's a normal kind of death. The normal kind of death is the body goes back to the earth where it came from, and the soul, death is the separation of the body from the soul. The body goes back to the earth, the soul goes back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? That's Ol Derech Eretz. You know, you're stuck. You know, whatever it is, you're stuck by nature. But then you have Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi, the soul took over the body. He was able to take, it didn't have to separate with death. They both went up to the Shamayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps, according to this. And then you have Kairach. Kairach, the body didn't go into the ground without the soul, leaving the soul to go to the heavens. The body went down into